Good morning. Well, as I said about 2 weeks ago, I want to do a series on the first three kings of Israel, when Israel was a united nation, and at the time of the fourth king, they split into two kingdoms. I'd like to do a series talking about these men. We talked about Saul, and, you know, God chose him. Saul didn't choose to be king. God chose Saul to be king. Samuel anointed him with oil, and God anointed him with the Holy Spirit. And as I said, Saul started out following God. He was obedient, but something happened, and he became disobedient, arrogant, presumptuous, and him and David overlap. Their stories do. And this morning we're going to talk about David. If you remember, I told you last week that God told Samuel to tell Saul, I'm getting someone else to be the king. I've already chosen him. And this morning, that's who we're going to be talking about, is King David. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you that you left it here for our example. Lord, the law and the prophets are full of Jesus Christ. And I praise and thank you for that. If we'll only dig in, we can find that your word is all about the Lord Jesus Christ and how it pertains to us today. Bless all those who are here. Bless those who could not be here. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, our text is 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 through 13. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. And invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you. And Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came out to meet him trembling and said, do you come peaceably? And he said peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. As I said, David was the second king of Israel. Samuel anointed him a few years before he ever took the throne. And that's something I want you to keep in mind. While we're talking about David, you know that Saul was attempting to kill David. God gave Saul into David's hands twice. And what I mean by that, David could have killed him, and David refused. His men said, kill him. You know, God's handed him over to you. And even though it looked like a God thing to his men, and this is your chance, David said, I won't lay my hands on the Lord anointed. Saul had been anointed. In the law, the priests were anointed with oil. They went through an ordination ceremony, and God said they're holy. Well, when a man was anointed with oil, that signified that he had been set apart for God's purpose, for a holy purpose. And David had such a heart for God that when he had the chance to kill Saul, he said, I'm not touching him. He's anointed. And I think that was a good attitude for David. David basically felt like God set him up. God can take him down. I won't have any part of that. And I'm sure his men didn't understand that at the time. You know, they might have kind of backed up and said, I don't know about this guy. He had a chance to kill his enemy and he let him go. What kind of king's this going to be? But anyway, I told you when Saul had refused to kill the Amalekites, wipe them out as God said, Samuel told him, God's going to take the kingdom away from you. He's already torn it away. He already has somebody in mind. And this is where we come in today. After this incident, Samuel is grieving because God said, I've rejected Saul. Samuel wasn't happy about it. He prayed to God. It said he prayed all night. He pleaded for Saul. I think he was saying, God, come on, forgive him. God, give him another chance. Come on. You know, this is the king. And God said, how long are you going to weep over him? I said, I'm done. He said, now take your horn and fill it with oil and go to a man named Jesse's house, a Bethlehemite, and I'll show you. I've picked one of his sons. I'll show you who it is. They carried horns in those days for water, their water vessels. And you know, Samuel said, if Saul sees what I'm doing, he'll kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer, say that you're there to offer a sacrifice. Now, I've heard people tell me, see, God even lied once in a while, or he used deceit. That wasn't deceit. When he got there, he offered a sacrifice. He just didn't tell the whole truth why he was there. God had sent him on this mission. And when he got to Bethlehem, it said the elders trembled. Samuel was a prophet of God, and sometimes prophets didn't come with the greatest news. You know, and the way Saul was acting, I think they were a little bit nervous. Why is he here? And Samuel said, well, I've come for peaceably. And he consecrated them. Generally, they were washed and they had to wash and change clothes for the feast. So he invited these elders to the feast. He consecrated Jesse and his sons for the feast. And I believe he told Jesse, got him offside and told him why he was there. And the reason that is, as I read to you, when the firstborn son passed by Samuel, Samuel said, that's got to be the guy. He was tall, he was good looking. You remember when he chose Saul, Saul was a head and shoulders taller than the other men and said the most handsome man in the area, and the prophet thought he had God figured out. Okay. That last guy you picked, he's tall and good looking. This guy's tall and good looking. This has got to be God's man. And God said, no. He said, Samuel, don't look at his outward appearance. I don't do that. I like to use this as a devotion when I talk to young people. I've used it several times. And I told him, you know, at times mom and dad and grandpa and grandma and aunts and uncles can look at you and from the outside, they don't mean to, but sometimes they don't see your potential. They may look at you and say, well, they're never going to amount to a lot. Not derogatorily, but they're just not going to rise very high. But when God looks at people, he sees the inside. David was a shepherd. That wasn't the highest rung on the social ladder. That wasn't the most desired job in this culture. Think about it. His dad didn't even invite him to this dinner. He was the runt of the litter. And Samuel told him that God had a call for one of his sons. Dad didn't even invite David. It can't be David. He's a punk kid. He's out there following the sheep. And when Samuel looked at Eliab, he says, that's got to be the guy. The prophet thought he had God figured out. You can't figure God out. I'm here to tell you that. About the time you think you got the Lord figured out and that this is what he wants, he will throw you a curve. That's been my experience anyway. And the Lord said, no, I've rejected him. He said, I look at people's hearts. Aren't you glad? I'm glad you don't have to be tall and good looking to get into the kingdom of heaven. I wouldn't go. I'm glad that God looked at me and said, I've got a purpose for you. Because I didn't see it. When I was in school, I could not stand to get up in front of people and speak. I've shared that. When I had to read a paper, I'd hold a paper up between me where I couldn't see them. And my teacher kept saying, put your paper down so we can see you. I said, if you can see me, I can see you, and the talk will be over. And one day I was going in to fill in and preach at a church in Forsyth, a guy I was in Bible college with, and my wife went with me, and I said, if you'd have told me 10 years ago I was going to a church and get up in front of a bunch of strangers and speak and lead the scene, I'd have laughed at you. It didn't make sense when I felt God was calling me to preach. I'm not good at getting up in front of people and talking. I don't want to sing in front of people. I don't want to talk in front of people. Well, God looked past my inhibitions. I want to say that. And I'm not boasting. God said, I see in you what I want. I want you to preach. And I argued with him for 15 years. You don't want me to preach. I wasn't stupid enough to say, you don't know me, but I just said, you don't want me to preach. And God kept saying, yeah, this is what I want you to do. Well, Samuel's been sent here to appoint a king, to anoint one, and he thinks he's got God figured out. And he goes, it's got to be this guy. And God said, no, not him. Second come by, and Samuel said to Jesse, it's not him. The third came by, and Samuel goes, no, it's not him. And he said he had seven of his sons. And the prophet looks at him and says, are these all your sons? I almost think Samuel thought, I know I didn't make a mistake. God said to come and anoint one of this guy's sons. And all seven passed, and God goes, nope, 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 nope. And he said, are these all of your sons? And his dad goes, well, there's one more, but he's with the sheep. How would you feel if... there were six kids in my family. How would you feel if your family had a dinner and didn't invite you? Maybe that's happened to you. Maybe they've had some kind of family gathering and nobody called you. Nobody told you about it. The scholars say that there's evidence in the writings they have that David didn't have the best relationship with his dad and his brothers. Now, they may be assuming that, but the thing is, David was a shepherd, which wasn't real high on the social scales. He was the youngest child. They estimate he was between 16 and 18 years old at this time. David wasn't tall like Saul. David didn't look intimidating. The Bible said he had a ruddy appearance, and the commentaries I read said he had red hair and light complexion, which was unusual in the Asian culture. But he just wasn't impressive to look at, and he was so unimpressive that when Samuel says, God's chosen one of your sons, he didn't even think, call David. Can't be David. And I like to tell young people, God looks at you and sees your potential that others do not. Now, I've heard people tell their kids, you could be a rocket scientist, and after you talk to the kid, it's like, no, they can't. You know, I mean, to me, it's just as wrong for mom and dad to tell a kid, you can do anything you put your mind to. Well, there's some things they can't do. Let's just be honest. But we tend to look at people and we look at the outside and we think we've got that figured out. God can look at the inside and say, that's a king. That's a preacher. That's a music ministry person. Other people never think it. Samuel said, that's a king. God said, no, that's not a king. And then he brings this little red-headed punk kid in there, and God said, that's the king. So Samuel comes up and he pours the oil on David. Now, that represents being set apart for God's purpose. But what happened immediately afterward? Said the Spirit of God rushed upon him from that day forward. I often wondered how those brothers felt when, I mean, they had to be disappointed. God's going to pick one of us. It must be me. It's got to be me. And no, and their punk brother comes in and he goes, him? I wonder how they felt. He's going to be our king? He's going to be my ruler? I don't think they were very happy with it. Jesse probably said, who'd have thunk? Who'd have thunk that? Little old punk David being a king. My goodness. But as I said, David didn't immediately become a king. That's something, if you study the book of Samuel, the book of Chronicles, David did not assume that he had a right to be a king immediately. He knew why he was anointed. The Spirit of God came upon him. God empowered him. God gave him the wisdom that he needed. But David didn't push himself forward. I'm afraid a lot of people today would have said, hey, if I'm the king, by golly, then, you know, I'm going to start off right now. David didn't do that. He respected Saul being the king. I told you Saul chased him. One point when David could have killed him, he didn't. It said David come out where he was and he bowed down to the ground to King Saul. David was an anointed king and he bowed before King Saul and called him Lord. He said, my Lord, why are you hunting me? I am not trying to kill you. Why are you listening to people saying I'm trying to overthrow you? You're the king. You're my Lord. And it said Saul wept and said, you're more righteous than I am. David could have said, yeah, I know. You know, you're the one out here pulling this. I'm not. But David, he's called him Lord. He called him king. As I said, when his men said, kill him, God's put him in your hands. David said, I'm not touching God's anointed. It's no wonder that God in the scripture said David was a man after his own heart. I only wish that I could hear the Lord say that about me. That Rick's a guy after my own heart. I ain't sure what he says about me. You know, I can be a problem child, I know that. But David had a heart for God, and it surpassed everything else in his life, even the attitude he had about himself. He never pushed himself forward. He didn't come out of that cave and say, look, you know I'm going to be the next king. Why don't you just pack up and leave? He didn't do that. He didn't berate Saul for coming after him. He didn't chastise him. He didn't try to make him look like a fool in front of the rest of Israel. Saul was doing a good job of that on his own. David didn't demand anything. He didn't claim his rights. When he came before Saul, he bowed to the ground. Saul was his king. Right after his anointing, if you're familiar with the story, it says the Spirit of the Lord left Saul. God took his spirit off of him, and God placed an evil spirit. Now, I've heard a lot of debate over that. God isn't evil. He doesn't have any evil spirits. The Arabic translation, I read this week, says God allowed an evil spirit to come upon Saul. And his men said, let's find a musician who can play well and have him play music to soothe you and lift this spirit off of you. Again, the Arabic says that when David played, the spirit was taken off of Saul. So then they debate, well, was he demon-possessed or demon-oppressed? It doesn't matter. There was a spirit coming on him that Saul didn't like. It was a weight that came on him. And one of the men said, well, David is really good on the lyre. He's already been anointed king. David comes in there and he plays his lyre. And it said the spirit was lifted off of Saul. It said Saul loved David. And he told his father, I want to keep him here. But David would travel back and forth to feed his dad's sheep. He was still a shepherd. You know, he didn't walk in and say, Dad, you need to give this job to somebody else. Don't you know I've been anointed? I'm a little bit above feeding sheep. David didn't do that. He went and fed sheep. He went and played music for Saul. And then you all know the story of David and Goliath. When I was a little kid, that was one of my favorite Bible stories. David and Goliath. David defeating that giant. That's when David gained popularity with the populace of Israel. David was a man of faith and integrity before God anointed him to be king. And he held on to that faith and he held on to that integrity all through his life. Now, I want to spend a week or two in talking about David. David had a bad time come up. He stumbled bad. That's not good English, but I mean, David stumbled and fell, and it was scandalous. But God brought him out of it. Saul never recovered. We talked about that last week. Saul never recovered. My own personal opinion is when God was allowing these things to come on Saul, he was trying to correct the man. He was giving him a chance. You want to call your shots? My spirit's off of you. Let this spirit come on you. See how you like calling your own shots? I believe with all my heart, Samuel could have cried out to God and said, I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. But he didn't. What happened? He got worse and worse, and he fought God, and he fought God. You cannot fight God and win. You can fight him. You can resist him. You can say no. When God gives you a purpose in your life, you have every right to say no and walk away. And God, in his mercy, will try to bring you back. He may follow you to the very edge of the pit. Come back. Come back. And you can say no and step off that pit. Nobody to blame but you. No one to blame but you. The story of Saul is very sad to me. I told you that. Here was a man that was walking with God, and he did an about face and went his own way, and his life ended tragically. David's a young man that followed God. But nobody thought David was a king. He was a shepherd. And God said, that's the king. The Bible says that the Lord has prepared works in advance for every one of us. Believers. In advance. He knows exactly what he has called each person in this room to do. What are you going to do with that? I don't know how many people over the years have come to me and say, well, Rick, how do I know God's will for my life? Why are you asking me? I'm not God. I don't know. Ask him. He may say something to you that's just going to blow your mind. No way, Lord. That can't be you. That can't be you calling me, because there's no way I could do that. Both these men called by God, what God do? Both were empowered by the Spirit of God. God didn't say, you're going to be the king and just do the best you can. He didn't say that to Saul. What did he do? He placed his spirit on Saul. David's a shepherd. He's a kid. And God said, you're going to be the next king. What did he do? He put his spirit on David. Church, when God calls us to do something, he will equip us. And I've learned in my lifetime, very often, what he calls you to do is not what you think that you should be doing. Don't let somebody put a call on your life. I was in a church, and a man came to the church, came to visit. He could quote scriptures, chapter, and verse. Very intelligent. But there was something about him that didn't witness with me on the inside. He could quote the Bible. He knew all the right words. But there, you meet people like that. I've met very few, but something on the inside of me said, watch him. Watch this guy. And one of the ladies in the church, we were having a church dinner, she come up and said, I believe God's called you to preach. Well, he probably has. I think he has. And I heard her say it. And a little later, some of the not so nice stuff came out about this guy. He quit coming to church and nobody asked him to leave. But people started seeing another side of him. And I talked to that man's wife one day. We were, all three of us were visiting. And I said, you got to be careful about that. Don't try to put a call on people. You know, well, it's just the way he could quote scripture. I said, the devil can quote scripture. He quoted them verbatim to Jesus. He can quote the text. Well, I just thought he'd make a good preacher. I said, that is not your call. Now, it's okay for you to think so-and-so could be a minister, so-and-so could be music. So that's not what I'm saying. But don't walk up and try to put a call on somebody that God hadn't placed there. That grieves him. But if God calls someone, don't do the opposite and try to talk them out of it. Well, that's just not you. God looked at this shepherd and he said, that's the next king of Israel. I don't think David felt that way. I know his brothers didn't and his dad didn't. But God said, you're going to be the next king. Was it an easy road? No, we're going to talk a little bit about that in this series. David went through tough times. I warn young men that tell me, you know, I think God's called me to preach. And I say, if he has, hang on. Because he will take you through the desert. He will break you and make you into the one he wants you to be. None of us are perfect. We know that. We have baggage. And when God begins to work with us, he starts taking that baggage away. The story of Goliath, we all have giants. When Satan comes against us, he's very intimidating. When God's enemies come against us, I mean, they bull up and it just looks overwhelming. But David faced it. You have giants in your life you have to face. I've had giants and will have giants I have to face. What David say to Goliath, I come to you in the name of the Lord. David told Saul, I killed a bear and a lion. He didn't walk up to Goliath and say, I guess you ain't heard my reputation. I'm David the bar killer. Goliath, I killed a bar. Killed a lion too. You better be careful. That's not what he said. What did he say to Samuel or to Saul? The same God who delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver this Philistine into my hand. That's integrity. That's faith. David didn't have to have the Spirit on him to have faith. I've heard some say that. No, David already had faith. But he needed the Spirit of God to lead and guide him into being a king. He needed God's Spirit to prepare him for the difficulties, the several years that he went through running for his life. I guess if you get anything else out of this message this morning, I want you to understand that when God has called you to do something, he will equip you to do it. You don't have to wonder about it. And very often he calls you to do something that you think, there's no way I can do this. But God looks at you and says, I know you can. I've chosen you. You stand with me this morning. We're going to talk next week. We're going to begin about the battle with Goliath. It's one of my favorite stories, and I think it's one that bears repeating. Would whoever have the closing prayer this morning please close for us in prayer?